I'd like to call to order the April 9th meeting of the Architecture Committee of the Vehicle Parade Commission. Will the director take the role to establish a quorum?
Yes. Rick Fifield?
Present.
Steve Bergeron?
Present.
We have a temporarily guest architect sitting in with us today, Cynthia Stewart.
Yeah, I'd like to introduce Cynthia. She's a long-term colleague of mine who's taught at the Tulane School of Architecture in the Preservation Program, has practiced architecture for many years, and we're very pleased to have her join us today. So we have a very long agenda today, and we are limited in time for the room around 3 o'clock. And so I'd like to just mention that this is the Architecture Committee. We do not review use or anything associated with use at this committee. We talk about architecture. So if you could keep your comments to the minimum and address architectural issues that are on the agenda, that would really help us move through through the work we have to do today and make sure everybody is heard. If there's, oh yes, just one moment. And one last thing is, oh, I forgot the last thing. So please.
I just wanted to clarify, Cynthia is going to be approved by our commission and become a full member on this committee. She's only a temporary guest today. But I wanted to take this opportunity to thank her for joining us. And to introduce the staff, Cynthia and I go way back. She knows me, Brian Locke. Renee Burgoyne is our deputy director. This is Nick Albrecht. He's our principal plans examiner. I'm also sitting in as the other principal plans examiner in vote today because she's out sick. And this is Marguerite Roberts. She's our principal senior building inspector, historic building inspector. And this is Noah Epstein, who is our other historic building inspector.
Oh, and Tajia Pearson.
Tajia Pearson, sorry. Tajia is our office assistant.
Awesome.
Hey, great. Okay, thank you so much. We're going to start today with old business and ask if there's anybody present for 1022 Domain Street. Would you like to come up? You have the staff report, please.
This is proposal to install new mechanical equipment and platform on roof and rear service cell per application and materials received November 20th. 2023 and May 25th, 2024, respectively. On February 27th, 2024, the committee deferred a proposal to install mechanical equipment on a new rooftop platform, which accessed the roof from the rear dormer of the main building, obscuring it. The revised proposal added a roof hatch located behind the platform, which allowed for it to be reduced in size from 13 foot 7 by 7 foot 1 to 9 foot 5 by 6.0. The overall height is not indicated. Details show it penetrating the roof in four locations, avoiding any attachment to the parapet or dormer, but do not show flashing details. Three units are indicated as previously shown. It is not clear if all three have the required 30 by 30 maintenance space, but it appears from the drawing that they could be rearranged to allow for it. The design guidelines state that wherever possible, equipment should be located to be visually unobtrusive, typically on a rear slope of a roof surface or concealed behind a parapet. The installation of rooftop mechanical equipment, such as an air conditioner, compressor unit, generator, or similar equipment, is not permitted where it would be visually obtrusive. Every effort should be made to shield the equipment from view and minimize associated noise. Staff visited the site and established that the platform will have no visibility from the public right-of-way. If approved, there will be limited visibility from one neighboring property and a privately owned parking area. Another adjacent property will likely have a more direct view of the equipment, but screening could be approved with a side elevation that would obscure it from all three of these locations. As a reminder, the fourth unit is proposed to be located at the end of the service cell balcony to replace an existing condenser that surprisingly was approved by the VCC in 1992. The guidelines typically prohibit the installation of mechanical equipment on balconies or galleries, and it is not clear from the meeting records why this property was considered an appropriate exception. Staff notes that the courtyard of this property is large, and there is ample space for mechanical equipment at grade. However, staff finds the proposed revisions to the platform to be a significant improvement over the previous proposal and seeks the guidance of the committee regarding its approvability. If found conceptually approvable, commission review is also required for the rooftop installation of mechanical equipment and a roof hatch. Screening details and flashing details where the platform meets the roof will need to be submitted for review at staff level prior to permit.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and your relationship to the property?
I'm Ronald Blanchard. I'm a mechanical contractor.
Okay.
I'm Jerry Ames.
And your relationship to the property?
We're general contractors who will probably get a permit to build a platform.
Okay, great. Thank you. Do you have a presentation that you'd like to make or a response to the staff report?
No, I think that the presentation speaks for itself. They did mention that they may want a screen, which we can, put up whatever we need to appease the board.
My comment would be that I felt like a screen might actually be more obtrusive. We'll be glad to put one up there, but I was thinking the piece of lattice or anything might make it actually more visible.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to see. You have to really stretch to see where this location is. But again, I think a lattice or a screen might actually make it more visible.
You go back, you see that picture right there, that they would be located to the left of that dorm room.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at it from the yard.
Yep. Okay, thank you. Committee, any questions for the applicant about this proposal?
I don't have any questions, but I'm just looking at the plan, and I note that the proposal is to construct this platform kind of in proud of the dormer, in front of the dormer, well, not in front, proud of the dormer. And I wonder if it can slide further back on the roof, and if that would improve its the sight lines. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I don't think that's a problem. I thought originally last time we were here, I thought someone on the board had commented that they would want them as low as possible on the roof.
Well,
I do think there's some balance to be struck there, and I wonder what my colleagues think.
So the hatch is new, though?
The hatch is new.
Okay.
I tend to agree with Ms. Bergeron that, the idea of having the platform proud of the dormer, makes it more visually prominent in relation to that architectural element. I'm also wondering, there appear to be two vents that come through the roof at that point. Are those furnace vents? And have you coordinated?
That's like from a photograph?
Well, it's right there in that image, those two.
I don't know what that is.
Plumbing vents?
Look like they might be, they look like, the, anyway, they, I don't know. Have you taken those into account in the placement of your platform?
I think that might be a vent further up the roof.
Yeah, I think
that
slide
might be
11.
Like an attic vent, like at
the
peak.
Slide 11.
Slide 11 shows it more clearly. They're closer to the ridge.
Yeah, it's closer to the ridge.
It's like on the ridge.
Okay, I got it. Okay, good. Well,
I could offer this. I'm concerned that if we go too high up the slope, we're going to actually make it more visible. Can we compromise and maybe have it like midway between the? I'm going to say the edge of the building and the front of the dormer, like just pull it back like halfway.
Well, this brings me to my second question.
Sure.
About, how much load you're putting up there relative to the position that you're bringing the load down onto the roof members. So one thing that we can say is that you're bringing the front end of the platform down onto a masonry bearing wall, which can probably handle
right.
it. But then you're also bringing the back of it down onto spanning member. And so
the structural engineer, John Bose, is going to help us provide support. If I pull it back, the ones that are closer to the outside of the building, we could have a similar detail where we have, like, I think he shows a 6x6 where the pipes come down and flange connected to that wood.
Mm-hmm.
And then further up the slope, maybe we can come up with a detail where we show like something under the rafters that spreads the load.
6x6 should do the job.
Right.
Okay, what do you think about the dormer?
And then the flashing details, the only thing I can think through is the penetrations through the roof for the iron support. We typically use a lead flange with a Fernco connection to seal that penetration. So that would be the only flashings to be talked about. Like a pipe flange. I mean a pipe.
It looks like they have to slide it back about 3 feet.
Just
rise above the walls.
Staff, you were on site. Did you have any thoughts about the prominence of the platform relative to the dormer, or the idea of it, the platform being more visible if it was pushed a little bit higher on the roof? We're thinking about pushing it back 3 feet.
I think it needs to be pushed back. I think right now the way it reads is almost an extension of the wall massing. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a guardrail at the edge of the roof, and I don't think we typically would want that relationship.
I was the one that went to site. I think it's that corner is largely obscured, totally from the public right of way, and the visibility from the surrounding properties is pretty minimal. I think the owner owns one of the other adjacent properties too, where this would be visible from. I think it's for a rooftop installation. This is as close to. I think either option would be fine.
Is there any public comment about this proposal? I see no public comment.
Can I mention one last?
Please.
So the higher up the slope we go, the more into a third floor living space we get, like with the access of the roof hatch up into onto the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, or even a few feet back, a couple of feet back, I could still have the hatch in a stairwell kind of area that's outside the living space on that third floor. That's just a concern line that I'm
going to. I understand. Okay. Is there any other discussion?
I just want to clarify that although we're not really in a position to talk about the logistics of how this works with the interior layout, our task is to just look at it from the outside of the building, and that's probably what's going to be reflected in our motion.
Okay.
So do I have a motion for 1022 Dumaine Street?
I do. In the matter of 1022 Dumaine, I move to conceptually approve the proposed rooftop mechanical rack location with the proviso that it be set back to be even with the face of the adjacent dormer.
Do I have a second for that motion?
Can I?
Yes. Excellent. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. You can work out the details with the staff. You can work out the details with the staff.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Right.
Next item is 728 Governor Nichols. Do we have an applicant present? We have a staff report, please.
Sure. 728 Governor Nichols is a green rated main building with an orange rated connecting structure. This is a proposal to install a new generator in the courtyard. Fabrication materials received July 31st, 2023 and September 19th, 2024, respectively. The applicant proposes the installation of a new generator on a new concrete pad in the rather small courtyard space of this property. The motivation for the proposed installation is to add to the ability for the owner to age in place and maintain a certain level of comfort and safety in the event of a power outage. Staff measures the square footage of the courtyard at less than 500 square feet, with a good portion of that covered by the rear building balcony and other overhangs. The generator is proposed adjacent to the masonry wall of the neighboring 724 Governor Nichols at the minimum distance allowed by the building department of 18 inches. Staff has been in contact with the building department regarding this application, and the initial review indicated that this would meet the building code. Besides staff's concern that this installation would be able to have adequate clearances as to not pose a potential hazard, the VCC guidelines speak to the appropriateness of such mechanical equipment installations. The guidelines state that the property owner is required to minimize the size and quantity of mounted equipment, as well as located to minimize visibility in or on a courtyard, yard, balcony, gallery, or porch. The layout of this property and the surrounding properties will make visibility of this unit all but non-existent. Staff is concerned, however, that this generator will become essentially the defining feature of this courtyard. Measuring around 4 feet long, about 2 feet deep, and a little over 2 feet tall, the generator will become a major feature of the space, even when it is not running. Other mechanical equipment for this property is located on the rear building balcony and on the roof of the orange-rated connecting structure. Staff does not believe that a rooftop location would be a better location for the proposed generator. Staff requests commentary from the committee regarding this proposal.
Thank you. I'd like to state your name and address and relationship to the property, please.
Spencer Johnson, and I am contractor for the project representative for the company.
Great. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
No.
Okay. Committee, questions for the applicant or for the staff?
Mr. Johnson, where will the connections, or how will the connections be run to the generator?
So the in the alleyway is the electric service and a gas meter, so they will run along the interior wall.
And how wide is that alleyway?
I can't recall exactly. It is not 3 feet.
It looks like 2 feet.
Does it say it on the plans?
It doesn't.
No, okay. I'm not 100% sure. I may have a photo of it. Actually.
That's it right there.
But yeah, that's it. So on the, when you're facing this way, on the left wall, not the neighboring brick wall, on the left wall, go down and then cross over and right on the ground, that last little bit, as you come in, and it connects into the rear, like facing the left wall. It's on the right side of the generator. Both connections are the right side.
Will they be subsurface, or are they just going to be on top of the brick pavement?
So as now, they're going to be on top. They're going to go over and then lay it down and then run along on the ground, but on US Drive.
Okay.
You know, I think that's a very important concern because, you know, the generator is only one component of this whole thing. There's switchings and all sorts of things that have to be considered, as well as the conduits. But I'm also concerned just about the placement of this generator kind of in the view corridor of that alleyway. It becomes a very prominent location, it seems. Did you explore other locations that might be less prominent?
So the further out you get from there, so basically in that courtyard, on the opposite, every opposite wall is covered with windows and doors. So that is the safest place in terms of like carbon monoxide accumulation.
Got it.
And then other than like say dead smack down the center, but I'd say that would be even more of a major feature as opposed to on the side wall.
It's a very, very small corridor.
Yeah. We see slide number 38. On the screen. So it would kind of just to the
right in front of where we're both standing.
Yeah, okay.
There's an arrow in the next slide.
To the next slide.
Last slide. There you go.
Okay. I hadn't gotten to that one yet. Okay. Is there any public comment about this proposal? Any more discussion? I remain kind of concerned about the conduit run between the generator and the location of the equipment.
Would it be under subsurface be preferable?
I think so. Yes. Sure.
Yeah, that's no problem.
What is the height of the platform? Is it going to be built up, or it's just a...
So we're pouring a concrete slab, and then it's going on an aluminum stand.
Okay.
So it'll be based on.
Good.
We have an elevation showing the unit on the platform.
That'll be...
We can get that before we permit.
Yeah.
So I do think that would be interesting to see. So it's on a 3 foot slab and platform, 3 feet above grade?
So that is the top of the generator.
Top of the generator?
Yes, and the generator is probably 30 inches tall.
Okay.
As one of the members of staff that was on this site, one of our biggest concerns was that alleyway and how the conduit was going to be run. It's very difficult, unless it's subsurface, for me to see. I have to walk sideways in the alley already, so I can't imagine anything else.
Okay. Is there any more discussion about 728 Governor Nichols?
Have y'all considered, or are y'all proposing any screening for this equipment, or is it's just going to be there?
It's just going to be there. I mean, the homeowner has mentioned painting it, but not a screening. Partially because of the clearances needed around the generator, and then when you add screening, that pushes it further into the corner. Just about to have a 3 foot clearance in front, right and left sides. So,
what would happen if it was moved back into this area?
There's an overhang, a balcony overhang, okay. which would mean that he wouldn't get the clearance.
It literally is like
that. This is literally, unless you move it, yeah. Not getting you to the middle of the quarter.
Yeah, right. I mean, it could go a little bit further back, but not. We're talking about maybe a foot or two before you start getting closer to being in that overhang and windows and doors.
Mm-hmm. If I may, if the committee decides to defer this matter for more information, and I'm not suggesting that you do, but I think it would be helpful if there was more information on these plans about the other site conditions that are driving this location. I think if nothing else, just for a record of why things are placed in a certain place. We've already seen in the staff report that we don't understand why something was approved by a previous commission, so it would be very helpful.
Okay, thank you. Is there a motion in the matter of 728 Governor Nichols?
I'm sorry. Has the staff or have y'all considered at all putting it on the back slope of the main building? I actually don't know how much they weigh, so it might be a terrible idea.
They're 550 pounds.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
Yeah, okay.
And they need to be accessed for maintenance.
This was one of the more difficult generator. I've been to a lot of places with the generator locations, and this was probably the most difficult one.
I would comment. So we recently did the 1009 Burgundy Street, and it had a similar alleyway. And what we did there was all of the conduits went way up at the top, and then once you got back into the open air courtyard, they came down the wall and then go along.
So we have details on that. That would be.
Yeah. Okay. We need to make a decision one way or the other. We can ask for additional information or to defer, or we can make a motion either to approve or disapprove.
Okay, well, I'll make a motion in the matter of 728 Governor Nichols to defer this matter to allow the time for the applicant to submit additional material based on today's discussion, including maybe some elevation drawings and some revised plans that would show the routing of connections to this equipment, and I think that would be helpful. Yeah, that should be good.
Do I have a second for that motion?
Aye, so moved.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
740 Royal Street, do you have an applicant present? We do. Can we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 738 through 742 Royal Street is a blue-rated building. Because they propose to correct violations and renovate the building, including installation of new mechanical equipment and new balcony support brackets. Application materials received March 11, 2024. An extensive renovation is proposed for this large and important building and includes the installation of new mechanical equipment, reinforcement to balconies, installation of new exterior lighting, and millwork repairs. Previously, it appears this building was only climate-controlled with window-type AC units. The applicant is now proposing a comprehensive climate control system, which includes 8 new condensing units located on a new mechanical platform at grade in the rear of the courtyard. The equipment is shown screened with a horizontal wood board fence. Staff finds this location consistent with the recommendations of the guidelines. Staff requests additional information regarding the routes for the refrigerant lines for this equipment to the respective interior units. The architectural plans include some vague indication of the refrigerant line routing, while the actual mechanical plans call the refrigerant lines to be run up inside exterior wall and also coordinate with the architect for exact routing location. Staff recommends these lines be mounted on the interior as much as possible. Proposed modifications to the various galleries and balconies on this building include a railing height increase and structural reinforcements in various locations. At the street facing Royal and St. Anne elevations, existing cast iron guardrails surround the existing galleries. The existing guardrails measure 36 inches, and the applicant proposed to install a new guardrail behind the historic rail at a height of 42 inches. This extension appears to only be shown in a section detail, and notes that it will include a 1¼-inch diameter pipe with vertical supports at 4 feet apart. An annotated photograph notes the vertical supports will align with existing vertical elements of the historic guardrail. The entire extension is noted as being painted white. Staff finds the concept of this extension minimally invasive to the existing historic railing. According to the plans, it appears that it would be completely independent of the historic railing. Staff questions if painting this element white while would be the most discreet color. The historic rail is dark colored and the walls behind the rail are natural brick with green shutters and white trim and doors. Staff questions if a color closer to the brick or the existing rail would help camouflage the extension more successfully. At the courtyard facing balconies, new angled steel supports are shown under the balconies. Approximately six of these angles already exist, and the applicant is proposing installation of approximately 30 new angled brackets. These will be spread out between locations under the second floor balcony, third floor balcony, and the projecting balcony roof. Staff notes that in conjunction with this work, the proposal includes the removal of balcony column support posts at the second and third floor level. Although currently rather rudimentary, staff notes that vertical wood columns in these locations are common in typical detailing. Staff identified a 1983 photograph that showed these columns in place appearing to be more appropriately detailed at that time. Staff questions if retaining and repairing or replacing these columns would eliminate or at least greatly reduce the need for the angled metal brackets at the upper floor levels. New lighting is proposed throughout the property with the majority of the proposed new fixtures shown as Rembrandt 110 fixtures measuring 4 1/4 in diameter and about 8 inches tall. These are shown at the two street-facing elevations with one fixture above each of the window and door openings at the first and second floor levels. Three additional fixtures are shown at the third floor level where there is a roof covering a portion of the gallery at this level. Additional fixtures are proposed in the courtyard area at all three levels and are generally aligned with window or door openings. Staff finds all of the proposed functional lighting consistent with the guidelines and approvable. In addition to the simple can lights, decorative pendant lights are shown in the alleyway and open area staircase used to access the courtyard and upper floors, as well as landings at each floor. A total of 5 decorative fixtures are shown. These pendants measure 16 inches wide by 9 inches tall. Given the simple design of the decorative fixtures and limited visibility, staff has no objection to the proposed decorative fixtures. The plans call for 4 existing windows to be converted to doors. These are marked on the floor plan as 202E2, 303E, 305E, and 306E. This middle includes details on nearly every window and door opening, including these. It appears from the submittal that all of these were very likely previously existing functional doors, and staff did not object to the proposed conversion to French doors to match similar adjacent openings. Other work noted in the plans includes repairs to stucco masonry, replacement of gallery and balcony decking to match, removal of window-style AC units and repairs to associated millwork, repair replacement of additional shutters at all openings, and general repairs to other existing millwork. Staff has no objection to these aspects of the proposal. Overall, staff finds the majority of the proposal very positive. Staff's biggest concerns in regards to the structural work and changes shown at the courtyard-facing balconies. Staff recommends conceptual approval of proposed mechanical equipment, referral to balcony support structural changes, approval of all exterior lighting, approval of the proposed conversion of windows to doors, and approval of all other aspects of the work.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property?
Hi, yes, Miles Martin, 1000 Norman C. Francis, architect of record.
Okay.
Patrick Brown, 464 Latigue Road, Tuna Construction, general contractor and mill shop for 740 Royal.
Great, thank you. Do you have a presentation you'd like to make or response to the staff report?
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking time with this application today. Just to get you abreast on the current situation of the project, we have been prior issued a demo permit, an interior renovation permit, and a re-roof permit. That work is underway. By allowing those permits to be issued and that work to go underway, Tuna is the contractor. We've been allowed to look at the building more in depth as well as proceed with shop drawings for the fenestration items and identifying our mechanical equipment and just really trying to vet everything out to try to give you the most information in hand to make some of these decisions. Noted in the staff report, there's kind of 3 issues that we're looking for potential direction or comment from our side. The first I have noted is the mechanical refrigerant line running, which on the architectural set, showed intent of where these routes were to occur with filled regions and notes, and then notes stating that any refrigerant lines run on the exterior of the building will be shrouded, that shroud will be painted to match the color of the wall surface that is run. As all this mechanical equipment is coming from a rack at the center of the courtyard, really there's only 2 paths for us to get to the building, and that is flanking directly to the building that the equipment is on. Our intent is to hit the sides of those buildings. We are showing it running up vertical approximately 7 feet, We don't have to run necessarily 7 feet in length, but all of our condensate and refrigerant lines, once they hit the building's intent, is to then direct towards the interior of the building, and the interior of the building will then be the routing to the unit heads alongside where the mechanical head units are mounted in the inside of the building. Second issue that kind of reflecting on comment was noted on the railings. The railings were noted as painting white. Understand the concern of potentially making those stand out more than blending. No objection to changing the color of those railings to be something more suitable, such as that color that Rick has found behind it. Third on here is mentioned as an item to defer is the balcony structural changes. Understanding that in our current proposal we are adding a lot of angled brackets, we kind of took what we thought was taking our cue from the building, where we did observe some angled brackets in situ. In further conversation with the structural engineer earlier today, couldn't make it because she was driving back from seeing the eclipse, so sorry. Just wanted her to be able to talk a little bit more about the structural integrity of these, the gallery on the inside in a column approach versus a structural brace approach. She was more in favor of the columns when it came to be about in a preferred loading capacity because it puts less pressure on the brick, and we're not attaching much of that surface of that old brick. So aside from that, don't have any more direct comments or narrative for the presentation.
Thanks. Committee, any questions for the applicant?
I guess this is a question for the staff. It looks like on slide 59, this is one of those 1980s photos that's referenced in the staff report. And the columns are not continuous to the ground. They would not be carrying the load all the way down. And I wonder if the structural engineer was aware of that as the, yeah.
No, unfortunately, in direct comment that we were reading from the staff report and didn't have the availability of this picture in hand, that certainly does change the loading path and discussion with the engineer on the phone earlier, presuming that the columns are then going down the grade and be loading on a pedestal foundation.
Staff, would that be a typical detail?
No, I think the more typical detail is, as it's seen in this photograph, where we only have the columns upper floors.
Yeah.
So have you done an analysis of the strength of that cantilever at the second floor level?
I think that would be the next step if we're going towards this approach. Certainly we'd want to get revised drawings reflecting columns on the second and third floors and then running those calcs to determine until we presumably would need brackets back, but to a lesser and a volume degree if we're just applying them to the first floor, if that's the solution where we're heading with those columns.
Not as an engineer, but without columns to the first floor, it's not going to work. I mean, right now we've got temporary bracing underneath there.
We'll let your engineer talk about that, because there are ways to strengthen a cantilever.
Yes. But
right. Okay. That's good.
Great. I'm just saying we need something on that first floor, or the second floor balcony.
We'll look to the engineer to give us some good advice. Other topics we need to think about. Windows to doors, that don't seem to be an issue. Equipment location, not an issue. Issues, is there any other issues?
Okay. I must say, I agree with the staff. The balcony is really my biggest concern.
Is there any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment. Is there any further discussion?
I guess I'm just looking for that equivalent platform, those details. I don't just have them up. Okay, it's on slide 68.
So you'll submit millwork drawings?
Complete package of millwork drawings was submitted with this submittal. Every existing door or window was documented, mm-hmm. as example here with the head-on shot with notes, and then the next page has the full fabrication millwork side of it.
Okay. All right. Do you have anything you'd like to add before we go to a motion? Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 740 Royal Street?
Yes, in the matter of 740 Royal, I move to adopt the staff's recommendation for conceptual approval of proposed mechanical equipment with the applicant to work out the details of mechanical equipment, line set routing with the staff, deferral of the balcony structural changes, approval of the exterior lighting, approval of the proposed conversion of windows to doors, with any final details to be worked out at staff level, and approval of other aspects of the work.
Do we have a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you all.
The next item is 828 Burgundy Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do. Could we have the staff report, please?
This is a proposal to install airless decking on third floor balcony. Note, in 2017, the committee reviewed and appealed retained metal cap flashing installed on the parapets without approval. It was deferred for 6 months to allow the applicant time to submit a proposal to replace the metal with an appropriate cap. No permits were issued to correct this work, but it appears the metal flashing was removed. A 2019 violation remains in place for a metal chimney cap. A proposal to install an appropriate cap on appeal to retain the existing cap should be submitted for committee's consideration in order for this outstanding to resolve this outstanding violation case. On February 28th, 2024, staff issued a permit to install new wood decking on the Burgundy elevation balconies. The applicant is now proposing to install airless decking on the third floor balcony, which is south-facing and uncovered. The balcony is 38 inches wide, and the additional three stringers would be spaced 19 inches on center, exceeding the 16-inch on-center required by Heritus. Considering the building's green rating, and the use of Heritus would require replacement of an additional stringer, which would then give the underside of the third floor balcony a different appearance than the second floor balcony, staff does not find use of Heritus to be appropriate and recommends denial. If the committee finds installation appropriate, the decking must be painted on all sides consistent with previous approvals.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
David Pons, 828 Burgundy Street, owner.
And?
Kenneth Gordon, 127 Collins Road, Bell Chase, contractor.
Thank you. Do you have a presentation you'd like to share with us or a response to the staff report?
The space between the sleepers would be 12 and a half inches and 13 inches, not over 16 inches, 7.
He did send an email to Erin, and Erin just—I believe she forwarded it to you guys.
No, we didn't receive that. So what you're saying is that there would be no modification of the stringers to the purlins as a result of this work. Okay.
If I may, that third floor actually faces towards municipal auditorium, so that would be west, I guess. I don't know. It says south on it.
It's probably like it's 45 degrees, so it's kind of like
right. And that third floor just gets—it's pretty. It's about 42 feet up. It's pretty high up. There's that, but it just gets diffused during like August, like we had the elements hit it, and it really just—it just not do well. So it's just appreciate it. Maybe something else, and it would definitely, appearance-wise, I don't see how you could really tell, but. That's the main reason why. And that second floor, we are just leaving a lot.
I could imagine that's.
There's one in the middle.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So for staff, this is a green rated building, and in the past, we have made exception to the guidelines based on the conditions that are present here. Uncovered weather-related galleries.
And this is based on the fact that, the guidelines say we don't typically for green rating. However, I do agree with you with this being uncovered and the lack of visibility from the height. That's a position that the architecture committee can take and the staff cannot.
Got it. And in this case, we've learned that the purlins will not have to be altered, which I think is a significant detail. Okay, is there any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment. Is there any further discussion from the committee? Don't see any further discussion. Do you have anything you'd like to add before we go to a motion? Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 828 Burgundy Street?
Yes, in the matter of 828 Burgundy, acknowledging that this balcony is unprotected and exposed to a western or southwestern sun exposure, I move to approve the use of Aratus with, and also acknowledging that the applicant has sent photos of this balcony and the purlin spacing to confirm that no alterations to the purlins will be required. I move to approve the proposal to install Aratus at this third floor balcony deck.
Subject to the staff recommendation regarding painting at all surfaces.
Subject to staff recommendation that all surfaces be painted.
We're in the middle of a motion, actually, so we're not really going to talk anymore right now. Is there a second for that motion?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 I'm sorry, what did you...
The last purlin, we do have to do replace some of it.
But you're going to replace in kind.
Yeah, I just wanted to
Okay, that's fine. It's the respacing of the purlins that we're concerned about. Yeah. Thank you for coming in today.
You're
all done. And you can work out details with the staff. 229 Royal Street has been removed from the agenda.
Yes.
Do we need a motion for deferral, or it's just been removed?
No, we removed it.
Okay, then it's...
Yes.
I'm sorry,
Mr. Block.
815 Dauphine Street, do we have an applicant present? Hey, Mark.
Yes.
815 Dauphine Street, I see no applicant present. Let's pass on to 97 French Market Place, 430 Barracks, and 1240 Decatur Street. We have an applicant present.
Yes.
Can we have staff report, please?
Sure. This is a green-rated building. Does it propose to renovate the building, including the construction of new rooftop walking surface? Application materials received March 22nd, 2024. The majority of the proposed work for this property is staff approvable, with the one exception noted by staff being proposed modifications to the roof. In conjunction with the installation of a new slate roof, the applicant proposed to convert roughly 110 square feet of the roof to a mod-bit roofing system to provide better access to an existing exhaust fan. The applicant notes that access to this roof is obtained from the neighboring roof, and the starting point of the proposed mod-bit system aligns with the access door to this neighboring roof. The applicant noted that this section could be shortened if requested. Staff inquired about the alternative of creating a roof hatch or using the existing dormer to gain access to this equipment. The applicant notes that there is a private apartment below this portion of the roof, so the attempt is to not need to access this apartment in order to access the roof. The proposed mod-bit system is shown with rigid insulation on the roof deck sheathing, followed by an additional layer of sheathing and the top layer of mod-bit roofing. The entire assembly is noted as being 4 inches thick and remaining well below the adjacent parapet. The staff does not like seeing the sections of slate roofing being carved out for lesser materials. The proposal here is small and would not be visible. Staff agrees that alternatives such as a catwalk would likely have a bigger impact on the roof and be more visible. Perhaps reducing the starting point of the mod-bit roofing to the valley between these two roofs would be better. Staff requests commentary from the committee regarding this proposal.
I'd like to state your name and address and relationship to the project, please.
Yes, Mark Hagen, Studio Rise, 1541 Two Lane Avenue, architect of record.
Thank you. Do you have a presentation or a response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
Just in reference to Nicholas' staff report, we had some conversations back and forth, as he noted. This is for monthly maintenance on the Louisiana Pizza Kitchen pizza oven hood, and they have continuously had issues with broken slate, so we're trying to work to get that addressed. With that, having workers going through someone's private apartment through a hatch, it still requires some form of walking surface anyway in order to access it. So this felt like the most inobtrusive way of handling getting it, people up there and protecting the existing or the new proposed slate roof.
Thanks. Committee, any questions for the applicant? Would you consider this a least harm proposal?
I would, and when you take it into totality, obviously if we foot penetrations for a catwalk, we would have to penetrate the roof in several locations with additional flashing. And then have increased visibility. This allows for the least impact from a visibility standpoint. It's on the inner block face of the building. I think there's a photo in the presentation from staff kind of showing how non-visible it is from the public right of way. And honestly, it's also completely reversible if ever the hood was taken out. And they could come back and re-roof it with slate. Not asking to change the profile of the roof or anything along those lines.
Thank you. Committee, any other questions?
No, not for me.
Okay. Staff, anything you'd like to add? Would you like to add anything before we go to a motion?
No.
Is there any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment. Is there a motion in the matter of, we'll just say, 97 French Market Place?
Yes, in the matter of 97 French Market Place, I move to conceptually approve the proposed modifications to the roof, acknowledging that it is minimally visible, completely reversible, and this approval is for the lifetime of the exhaust fan.
There you go. Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The motion passes. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for your time.
We're going to move to appeals and violations and ask if there's anybody present for 730 St. Louis Street.
Yes.
Okay. Do we have a staff report, please?
Yes. This is an appeal to retain work completed without benefit of ECC review and approval, including fence, gate, and security alterations, and to correct long-standing violations for application materials received on August 28, 2023 and March 21st, 2024, respectively. Notices of violation sent of May 15th, 2008, August 5th, 2013, April 25th, 2016, February 16th, 2017, September 18th, 2018, May 17th, 2019, December 5th, 2019, March 9th, 2020, December 11th, 2020, April 29th, 2021, January 21st, 2022, January 23rd, 2023, May 12th, 2023, July 7th, 2023, stop work orders posted April 26th, 2022, May 23rd, 2022, and May 11th, 2023. The applicant has submitted revised plans following committee review on December 5th, 2023. Notable items are as follows. Key notes correspond to the drawings submitted. Number 15, a paving plan and section have been provided for the courtyard and alley showing 1.5-inch thick flagstone pavers with silicone filler on a 3/18-inch setting bed over a 4-inch concrete slab. Staff notes that a limited amount of the open space can be impermeable per the CZO, even in the French Quarter. This should be confirmed with zoning, as it is likely that the flagstone will have to be installed on a permeable bed. Staff notes that silicone filler is not appropriate for this detail if impermeable pavers end up being allowed. Staff recommends deferral with the final review of the details to be handled at staff level. Items number 1 and 3, the courtyard fence will be capped and the gate replaced with a new wood gate to match previously existing. Staff finds both conceptually approvable. Number 9, 3 large electrical conduits installed without permit will be relocated to the inside corner of the balcony where it meets the wall, and will be painted to match. Lighting will be replaced with recessed fixtures on the second floor and can lights on the first floor. Staff notes that locations of the fixtures are approval, but the size, no larger than 3 inches diameter by 7 inches long, and lamping 3,000 Kelvin color temp required of the can lights are not. Divisions can be handled at staff level. 3 electrical panels are labeled as abandoned but are not noted for removal. Any abandoned panels, fixtures, and or wiring must be removed. Staff finds the proposed lighting plan conceptually approvable with revisions to be submitted as noted. And there was email concerns from an adjoining property that was forwarded to the committee.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property, please?
Kurt Fama, 1350 Norman C. Francis Parkway, architect.
Okay. Do you have a presentation that you'd like to share with us or response to the staff report?
I'm fine with everything the staff said. I just question the concrete slab for the flagstone pavers. Because I checked the zoning again before I came, and it clearly says that you don't need permeable open space in the VCC2.
I'm not sure. Once again, we said in the report that needs to be confirmed with zoning. So whatever zoning approves, we would recommend.
Okay, committee, any questions for the applicant? As we're thinking, does this resolve all the violations on the property?
No, I wouldn't think so.
Signage on there is all the other stuff. I'm not sure what. I'm not sure what was being handled at staff and what was being handled by AirSafe.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
There are a lot of issues involving signage and things that are placed on the balcony, lighting, that wouldn't be coming before the committee.
Okay, but
most
those are.
That's been removed.
Permanently?
Well, that, yeah.
There's still a bunch of neon signage in the windows.
And
the ones on the balcony were removed.
I will also state that there is some confusion with the neighbor as to who owns the entire alley, which you saw in the email. So
yes.
You may want to put that, I don't know, some sort of way in the motion.
Do you have a survey of the property?
No,
I
have one that I can send you.
Okay. Well, I mean, the concerns raised by the adjacent owner were about damage to the carriageway and that they claim is joint tenancy, or joint ownership. And that's not part of this review today, though?
No.
We're only talking about the materials.
Right. And so the question would be, is there something to be resolved about this carriageway or this gate?
We're recommending deferral on that.
Okay.
So there may be, if it was deferred, we would have an opportunity to resolve some of those issues.
Okay. Committee. Any questions for the applicant or for the staff?
Whenever we're presented with photos of a property like this that has been operating as it has, there's just a lot that becomes obvious. One thing that I see in slide 142 is there's what appears to be an opening that is closed with a pair of shutters. And across that opening are Tex water lines and an extension cord and possibly other stuff. Is all that going to be?
No, that's a year old, that photo.
Okay, so it may have already been addressed.
Yeah.
Okay. Would it be appropriate for the staff to read the public comment that was submitted via email? It's been.
Sure.
I don't have it in front of me, though.
If anybody has it.
Yeah,
I was thinking when I read it that would be, you know.
If you would like, I
think this staff should read it if they have it pulled up.
Do you have it?
Good afternoon. I'm writing to explain a difficult situation between my property at 726-728 St. Louis Street, which shares a carriageway with 730 St. Louis Street. The owners of 730 St. Louis Street have damaged my property on multiple occasions, often due to unfurnished work. Aside from damaging my property, the owners of 730 St. Louis Street have shown clear contempt for the rules of the Blue Gray Commission and the laws of the City of New Orleans. Some issues are relatively minor, but add up to a pattern of escalating violations and more serious damage. I apologize for not being present for the Architectural Review Committee on April 9th, 2024. I had to meet with the contractor to discuss replacement of a trench drain which has been attached to my side of the carriageway, possibly since the building was constructed, until it was ripped apart along with my side of the carriageway during the unfermented demolition of the carriageway. Some of the plaster at the bottom of the wall was damaged. Meanwhile, the owners of 730 St. Louis Street had vents in my property wall plugged up with concrete and hardwood cloth. I've had to pay to have one of them drilled open. Several others still need to be reopened. I now must also replace the broken grills and get a permit for that, which will likely be an expensive repair job. The owners of 730 St. Louis Street also have a carriageway gate removed. I have this on video. Whatever the owners of 730 St. Louis Street do to the carriageway can and will affect my property. I can provide a recent survey that proves joint ownership, and several photographs are attached here that document some of my other complaints.
Okay.
thank you for your consideration in this matter. Jolie Montevert. Sent you the survey.
And this shows this was the pre-existing carriageway gate, and they, without permits, replaced it with that. But that's not really right.
And they believe it's in there as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's perfect.
Can I ask, do you have violations on the Davis property? There must be numerous.
Yeah, they also have violations. Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of deferred maintenance on the back of it.
Does it look like there's been any work done on that building in 10 years?
Okay, is there any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment, aside from the written comment that we received. Any discussion?
It seems the scope of our review today is very narrow. Right? There are only three items here.
Oh, because we're agreeing to take care of all the other items.
Yeah.
Those are the only three that were in contention.
Yeah.
And may staff recommend a time frame on this as well? Since this has been going on since 2008.
Are you prepared to mobilize for construction?
Am I prepared to
mobilize for construction?
Once we get the building permit.
Okay, well that's the right answer. That's
I would base answer. Whatever time frame you want on the day we get the permit.
And this property is also under daily fines by adjudication. So that might light a fire.
Would 6 months be appropriate? Would that be enough time to complete the work?
To complete the work? I would think so, yes.
Okay.
We have no public comment. Would you like to say anything before we go to a motion?
No.
Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 730 St. Louis Street?
Yes, in the matter of 730 St. Louis, I move to adopt the staff's recommendations to defer the paving pending confirmation on zoning, ownership, and other items that are perhaps needing confirmation, with staff to resolve that at their level if possible. Conceptual approval of the courtyard fence and wood gate, and conceptual approval of the various electrical work.
Thank you. Do I have a second for that motion?
Second.
We have a second. All in favor say aye.
I do need to amend my...
Okay.
With all of the work to be completed 6 months from issuance of permit.
Do you accept that addition, Cynthia?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Thank you for coming
Thank
in.
Thank you.
1118 Burgundy Street. Do you have an applicant present? We do. Could we have the staff report, please?
Yes, this is an appeal to retain work without permit violations for metal cap flashing and loggia soffit installed without benefit of ECC review and approval. On January 31st, 2024, the commission reviewed an appeal to retain the metal cap flashing and unusual loggia soffit modifications. After some discussion, the commission moved to defer the appeal with the applicant to seek a roof inspection to evaluate the conditions and return to the committee for their consideration based on architectural merit. The applicant has submitted reports as follows. Roof. The commission was concerned about the potential use of dissimilar metals, but also discussed potentially allowing a limited amount of time to address the cap flashing if conditions were found to be sound. The report states, quote, the roof consists of a natural slate roof that was found to be in good overall condition, however, was in need of some maintenance and repairs. Some cracked, slipped, and missing slates were noted. All damaged and missing slates should be replaced by a qualified slate roofing contractor using slates of like kind and color. Flashings consisted of mostly copper flashings and a few galvanized. There were a few small areas where copper and galvanized flashings were in contact. However, no corrosion was noted at the time of inspection, end quote. Staff finds the contact between copper and galvanized flashing to be problematic as it often leads to the complete rust out of galvanized materials in less than 5 years. Staff notes that the cap flashing itself is not mentioned. If the cap is in good condition at this time, staff recommends that the commission forward a recommendation of denial to retain the cap, with the metal caps to be replaced either at the end of their useful life or within whatever time frame the commission deems appropriate. The dissimilar flashing should be replaced as soon as possible, along with any missing or cracked slate, as noted in the report. Additionally, photographs from the roof inspection show a missing chimney cap at the rear service building. This should be also be repaired appropriately per typical details. Rear soffit. The report notes that the enclosed space above the rear patio steps down and is framed below the second floor of the cottage. Staff noted that the massing of this building is very unusual, and the 1876 and 1896 Sanborn maps show even stranger conditions. There appears to have been a catwalk leading toward the roof over the patio, with the 1.5-story addition being added later. Given these unique conditions, staff suggests that the soffit be left alone, with the committee to forward a recommendation to approve attention. Remaining items. The applicant is proposing the remaining work last reviewed by the committee as follows. Excuse me. At the rear service building, a downspout currently connecting into a sewer vent is shown rerouted to kick out towards an existing drain at grade. Staff finds this approvable. Also, at the rear service building, the applicant proposes to retain the existing plastic sewer vent and connections at grade, with the pipe to be extended to vent per code. They state that the sewer connections must be plastic or cast iron, and that retaining the existing conditions is the least harm option, as a cast iron replacement requires opening the exterior wall. Staff seeks the guidance of the committee, as exterior use of PVC is typically prohibited as it deteriorates when subjected to UV light. A keypad is proposed for installation at the alley gate. It is not in keeping with the guidelines for keypad hardware, as it is large and has mechanical buttons. However, staff is willing to work with the applicant at staff level to find an appropriate keypad. The applicant is requesting to retain the gas and electric service up supply stub up for portable kitchen equipment at the Burgundy side elevations of the middle service L. Staff is in favor of portable kitchen equipment as opposed to permanent installations. The applicant has not revised their proposal to retain the mechanical platform located above this area and is appealing to retain the platform and equipment installed there. Staff seeks the guidance of the committee regarding the impact of allowing the current condition to remain.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
Yes, Zach Smith, on behalf of the owner. I'm just a permanent consultant on the property here. Architect should be walking in any second, but I think we're good to get rolling. I really want to commend the staff on this. I know Aaron isn't here today, but has had a lot of back and forth with ownership and the design team, and I think this is in a really good place from where it was before. I think there's probably two or three smaller scale questions to just get a little bit of where it was punted or elevated to say we'd love to get the committee's buy-in. But everything else, really appreciate the soffit recommendation for approval on the cap. It says it, I think, very clearly, but just for clarity's sake, it's a denial, but with a deferred, 10-year out without having to change it since it's been deemed to be in good shape. And then the other kind of three items I think that are left are the keypad. Obviously, we'll work with staff to solve that. The PVC cast iron, it's in Aaron's report that you'd love to have the chat and get y'all's buy-in. We'd, of course, love to do the least invasive, which is to leave it essentially as close to as is possible. So that's ultimately one of our big questions for today. And then the second, hopefully Pearson will be here at that point. We'll talk about the mechanical plug. PVC.
Okay, committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal? Would the applicant be willing to screen the mechanical equipment views from the ground?
I think so. I think that's a very fair outcome. The only thing that I always get a little nervous about with screens is about how much airflow they can constrict sometimes. But I think some level of screen to be worked out with the staff, I think is definitely appropriate on this. So, yes.
Is the staff amenable to that? As
yes. Yes, and you know, it's funny that this has come up twice in this meeting. This morning I was driving in and was noticing some screening mechanical equipment on the roof of the Aloysius Apartments at Esplanade and North Rampart Street. And I think, you know, one of the things that we often talk about is that screening sometimes draws more attention to mechanical equipment. And I was sitting at the waiting light thinking that I want to revisit that because the screening did a great job in that location of really sort of helping it recede. And I think that this would be another location where it would be very
This seems to be a perfect example.
This is
where
a great
screening
example.
Good idea. Is the position of this equipment meet mechanical code for maintenance? And
on the fly, I would tell you there's probably no mechanical equipment in the French Quarter there. maintenance, but no, just a general look at it. I think that the equipment is probably a little too close to itself, and that there's not an appropriate 30-inch by 30-inch working platform. You asked me the blunt, direct question, so I got to give you the best answer I can give you.
I think the detail of a screen would be important here, both for access and also airflow.
Yeah, it'd be a design consideration.
And Aaron could do that, yeah.
Okay. Committee, any other questions?
Those two criteria? The design itself and then the airflow.
Yeah. Which we're aware of, we know. Yeah. Material, all that stuff. Yeah.
Sorry, what could you use in there? Is there any public comment on this proposal as we kind of wait? Yes, Nikki Slinsky.
Besides the spacing, which y'all already mentioned, I've always been really concerned about this is a remnant wall, most likely, as tall as it is and based on sampler maps, that wall may be compromised by having that much equipment on it. This is a large yard, there's lots of space for ground location, and furthermore, the is concerning because this is a notorious short-term.
Okay, let's address the loading. How is this structured, the platform? Is it structured from stucco wall to stucco wall, or is it somehow supported? It is.
Wall to wall.
So it's not supported off the partition wall?
No, it's not. It's from wall.
Okay, so we aren't imposing any kind of loading on the remnant wall. If you'd like to speak, please state your name and address and relationship to the property.
Hi, I'm Kirsten Smith, sorry.
Your name and address?
I was here at the previous hearing.
Your name and address?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Kirsten Smith, my address is 1717 Bay, or 1118 Bay.
Thank you.
Sorry.
We're kind of in the middle of this.
From the elevator, right?
Yeah. We're kind of in the middle of this, so any other, I mean, okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 1118 Burgundy Street?
In the matter of 1118 Burgundy, I move to adopt the recommendations of the staff report with the proviso that the applicant submit for staff review a proposal to screen the mechanical equipment.
Is there a second for that motion?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
My motion passes. Thanks for coming in. Sorry you had to make that ride on the elevator for 5 minutes.
It was my delay.
Okay. 1200 Decatur Street, so we have an applicant present. Can we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 1200 Decatur is a green-rated main building with some brown-rated corridor infill and addition. Does it propose to address violations, including proposals to apply stucco lintels above window and door openings? Application materials received September 15, 2023 and March 4, 2024, respectively. In order to address one of the remaining violations concerning the replacement of lintels, The applicant is proposing to apply stucco above several of the existing openings to match the appearance of the previously existing lintels. There has been some discussion about what exactly the previous conditions were, but staff and the applicant are in agreement that these were most likely applied elements to the surface of the masonry rather than being something embedded in the wall. The applicant is proposing to match this with new applied stucco where these are now missing. Staff requests details on the attachment method and profile of these stucco lintels, but finds the concept approvable. Several of these are still in place on the building and should be matched for all of the new ones. Staff notes that there are numerous other violations and concerns over deteriorating conditions at this building, and staff encourages the applicant to get that work completed as soon as possible. Staff recommends conceptual approval of the proposal with the final details we've worked out with the staff.
Great. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property, please?
Eric Gates, Gates Preservation, 26 North Carrollton Avenue, representative from the building.
How do you propose to fix these lintels?
Basically, we had a couple of different versions of proposals that have been brought to the BCC, some of which have been proposed in the past. It did involve a lot more removal and inserting of new lintels, but when we've done some, you know, serious research on what is currently existing, we felt like that was an excessive approach when what we have is pretty much all, you know, a situation where we have embedded lintels already, and what has not been reinstalled when those have been repaired has been the applied stucco. So I think Steph and I have gone back and looked at lots of pictures and gone back and forth in this, which is four pictures, and I think we have the most graceful and appropriate solution here.
How are you going to make that stucco stick?
That's a conversation that I'm going to have with the mason, make sure that the staff has a detail on how that will stick, because we had not discussed that previously. Nick and I have not yet discussed that, but we will make sure he will have a detail in order to do that.
I mean, kind of summarize here, what we've seen is kind of botched brick repointing where the lintels were replaced. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to put a little fig leaf over. Is that the good summary of where we stand?
That's fair.
I would like to remind everyone that this entire corner was, I don't even know that we have an actual picture of it. That's not current, is it?
Yeah.
The other side, the entire parapet was rebuilt without permit, so
yeah.
That looks botched already.
That work has to be redone.
Which has to be redone. Mm-hmm. Any other areas, Marguerite?
That was the most significant area. The two lintels closest to the corner of Governor Nichols and French Market, which I think is what we're talking about. Just all of that needs to be reworked. The Decatur elevation isn't really that bad. It's really the Governor Nichols and the French Market.
Yeah, it's the French Market's
elevations that are the most concerning.
Do you have any idea how you're going to proceed with repairing the parapet?
The basin has started to remove portions of that and rebuild it without permit. We'll be going back and redoing that work that he did because it's not straight.
What kind of documentation do we have for any of this?
I don't know.
No. For, I'm sorry.
For the parapet or anything?
We busted them. It was a stop order.
Yeah, we have three stop work orders.
Three stop work.
So they're proceeding with repairs without documentation?
Yes, I was personally out there. And stopped him. He told me he was going to stop. He didn't. I went out later. The whole thing was rebuilt.
Okay, and committee. Questions for the applicant or the staff?
I do have a question for the staff. Is this sort of applied stucco lintel detail something we've seen historically on other buildings?
I think we have.
Yeah, we have.
I think that I know that there's some on that Rampart Street.
The thing is, it's not necessarily. I mean, I think that the question really is, stucco is applied as a decorative lintel, as a proactive design element, and here this is a reactive fix for bad work.
Right.
There's a difference there. I mean, where it's stylistically implied like a decorative cornice, that's one thing, but where it's like to cover up bad work, it's kind of another.
So this seems to be more, should show more detail. Is this more typical as to what is being proposed?
Yes.
Here? So it's got some more depth to it?
It does, yes. What we're doing is we're looking at what's it, so all of the lintels on this building, particularly on this facade and the governmental facade, are applied stucco. So we're really just proposing to match what was existing, what we believe was existing before. As far as the work that was done previously to repair the lintels was done 8 years ago, and then the lintel, the detailing was never redone. So this is really more of a completing the process of making these match what was previously there, not just covering up work.
Yeah, but these don't look right. I mean, they don't have any relationship to a structural element. They look like a Band-Aid, frankly.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, if you think about the size and dimension of a wood element this might be covering, it wouldn't have the dimension of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 brick height dimension. That's 15 inches. I mean, this is...
This looks like it's been painted.
Several years ago, a prior individual went against our permits and went ahead and just put paint to make it look like lintels. And that was one of the issues we had. That was you know, several iterations ago. We've had that problem.
That was
previous.
This building has had a lot.
The staff report indicates that some of these lintels are existing, but does that mean that they're existing historic applied lintels or something else?
That was 2011.
There have been some since at least the 80s. Some have been removed over time, but there are. I mean, I can't say how long, obviously, they were there ultimately in the tenure of this, the lifetime of this actual thing.
And historically, this would have been stucco applied to a wood lintel. Is that right?
Maybe.
Are there any other similar buildings that we could look at?
It would be the building across from this one, right, Marguerite? I'm trying to think. The building across from it.
There's a somewhat twin on the other side, 1140 Decatur, that is stuccoed. Doesn't have, I think, as much detail as this one. I don't think that one has any lintels anymore on that property. And being French Market adjacent has spent the majority of its life as a warehouse structure. It was only more recently, in the 20th century, that had a gallery and things like that. So there was a little, it's always been a pretty simple detailing with this building. I will say, I did see, though, on the Collins-Dybul digital survey, there is a drawing from 1866 that shows that there were lintels. I don't know what, material.
Stucco or wood.
It's just painted, so it's something in the 1860s.
Does it say in the
title? I think that, given the fact that so much work has gone on here, that I don't think we can make an approval without some kind of documentation of what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. In other words, approving a stucco lintel is like, well, we might get almost anything with that. So I think we need to see, what this lintel is, its dimensions, how you're going to stick it to the building. Is it going to have, something that is attaching it back into the brick masonry? I mean, we don't have much information here about what this really is. And given the fact that it's a Band-Aid, I'd really like to know how it's going to work.
I'm a little worried about the parapet, too, I have to admit. It looks super decorative on the side, and then, and I recognize this was replaced, and I'm just curious what the intent is to turn that corner.
The parapet issue in question is the one all around the right.
Right.
Yeah.
So we don't have any photographs in this.
No, because I believe we heard it at another meeting.
Yeah.
So we didn't include that. But it is that back, that entire back corner right there.
Yeah, and we're really talking about the lentils today.
Yes. Yes.
So, sorry, okay. Yes, and I'm sorry.
No, but I think that's a really fair thing to bring up, Cynthia. And I, you know, we would definitely, if this is deferred, we have a lot more information that we can provide to the committee.
Okay. Is there any public comment about this proposal? Hearing none, is there any further discussion? Ms. Gates, would you like to say anything before we go to a motion? Okay. Do we have a motion in the matter of 1200 Decatur Street?
Yes, in the matter of 1200 Decatur, I move to defer this proposal to allow the applicant time to revise the proposal and provide additional details based on today's discussion, including but not limited to a section cut through the proposed applied stucco, and if that were also submitted with some scholarship on adjacent buildings that might help inform what that looks like, or historical photos of this building to help inform what this detail ought to be.
Chris, have a second for that motion.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 The motion passes. I'm going to excuse myself for a minute. Would you like to take over the next item?
Sure.
Thank you.
Next up on the agenda is 43941 Royal Street. See, we have an applicant here, so let's have a staff report.
This is a proposal to modify balcony rail and perform structural work in masonry cracks. The committee last reviewed a proposal to address the significant masonry crack at this property on January 10th, 2023. It was deferred to allow the applicant time to provide a comprehensive structural report that addressed all cracking and structural concerns at the property, not just at the corner, and to perform any exploratory demolition needed to investigate the cause of the crack. The committee was concerned with more widespread stucco cracking and the possibility of foundation issues or concerns with the balcony. The applicant is also proposing to remove the pipe rail balcony extension installed without permit and replace it with a more suitably detailed extension. Masonry. Mr. R. Allen Harris, PE, provided an updated report based on visual observation of the building as follows. Quote, on the first floor, ground floor, we observed the same crack in the brick walls as we previously reported in our letter dated September 22, 2022. On the second floor, on the west wall, closest to Royal Street, we observed critical cracks in the brick demising wall. These cracks appeared aged and had rounded, blunt, and dull edges with no contrast to the opposing side of the crack, all indications of long-term separation and not active movement. We maintain our previous assertion that the cracks on the entranceway at the corner of St. Louis and Royal be addressed as soon as possible. Based on comments received from the local review board, we are attaching a shoring and repair plan that we believe addressed the comments presented by this committee. In addition, we are providing a letter from Simpson Strong Tie addressing the allowance of bending in their product. Overall, and notwithstanding the conditions noted herein, the structure appears in serviceable condition. All work should be completed by a competent, licensed professional in the state of Louisiana according to applicable laws and building codes, end quote. Staff notes that no bending of Simpson Strong Ties is proposed in the drawings despite being mentioned in the report. The applicant now proposes to rebuild portions of the masonry wall and install two new steel angle lintels at the cut corner, extending above the adjacent openings on both the Royal and St. Louis elevations. The angles are shown as 5x5x1/2 inch and are shown facing outward with notes that they are to remain in place. Simpson Healy ties are shown at the cracks above the lintel, where the wall is to be repaired instead of reconstructed. The portions of the wall below the new lintel are proposed to be demolished and rebuilt with new masonry. Staff notes that no dimensions are provided and there is no documentation showing the jams at the millwork openings. Architectural plans should be provided to supplement the engineer's structural drawings. In addition, due to recent issues with stucco scoring proving difficult for laborers to replicate, staff requests that the applicant provide a scale and dimension scoring plan of both elevations.
Thank you, Colby.
Staff seeks the guidance of the committee regarding the proposed structural work, but notes that the proposed lintels should be reoriented so they face inwards instead of out, particularly given the scored stucco on the first floor. The locations of the Simpson ties within the masonry joints should also be detailed in this section. Railing. The proposed railing extension would remove the existing pipe column guardrail and add a 1-inch square bar to the top rail of the historic handrail. A new 3'6" rail is proposed behind to be welded to the existing flat bar top rail. Staff notes that it appears in section to be welded to the new 1-inch square bar, not the existing top rail. The new rail behind has a 1-inch thick top rail with a 1/4-inch by 1 1/4-inch flat bar vertical supports to be centered behind the existing verticals in the historic wall rail. It is supported by a continuous 1/4-inch by 1 1/4-inch flat bar fastened by 16-inch on center to the stringer behind the fascia. Staff notes that portions of the historic rail are shown to have gaps exceeding the 4-inch sphere rule, and the gap at the top between the historic rail and the new rail is not dimensioned. A variance from the Board of Building Standards and Appeals will likely be required. Staff finds the proposed rail to be a significant improvement over the existing conditions and notes that the installation of simply detailed rails installed behind historic rails has been successful at several other balconies in recent years, particularly when it is painted to match the wall to minimize visibility. Staff recommends approval with the committee to forward a positive recommendation for this proposal to the BBSA following the reutilization, allowing for the reutilization of the historic rail.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
Eric Gates, Gates Preservation. Representative for the building tenant.
Alan Harris, Harris Development and Design, structural engineer for the building tenant.
Okay, do you have a presentation you'd like to make or response to the staff report?
Just a few quick comments on, we had started this proposal quite a while ago. As was noted in the staff report, we then had some issues between the owner and tenant that had involved lawyers, and they had to come to an agreement, and that has delayed us significantly on where we are, but we are very much interested in, you know, picking back up and making sure that this gets done right as it's been going on for too long. This will also enforce all some staff level violations that need to be addressed, but we're gonna, I think the railing the correction is going to be beneficial for the historic integrity as well as the function of the of that balcony, and we have plans for the structural, addressing the structural issues here. Alan can answer any of the questions that we have today, and we will absolutely be submitting some architectural details to accompany that to the staff. The architect is also present to get any questions on this one.
Okay. You got anything to say?
Any questions I can answer? I think there was a comment about turning the lintels inside. I can revise that detail to have the lintels, the shoring lintels. Most likely you'll have to do that to shore it, but then for a permanent fix, we can hide the lintels on the inside once it's installed.
Will you use that typical plate on the bottom of the lintel?
I have to check the spans. We'll either go with a flat plate or we'll do a T with the inside so it's hidden. You'll score the inside basically through the middle of the brick and then insert it up.
And
WT being this.
Are you seeing that as galvanized material or just raw steel?
Probably do galvanized since it's exposed to exterior condition like that.
Many questions?
I feel like I need more information about the structural repairs.
Yeah. We're getting little fragments here in your drawings, but we're not really getting anything that would show us a comprehensive view of what's going to be done.
What's that?
We're getting fragmentary details, but no comprehensive view of the extent of the work you're proposing.
Okay. I mean, it's fairly simple. I don't really know much more detail we can do. I mean, it's a pretty small area of repair. You need to shore it so you can safely remove it. Originally, we proposed the Healy ties and the Simpson Healy ties, and there was a comment about there not being enough width on the total width of the column, if you will, column of brick. I previously had this issue with Simpson before, and their engineer, national engineer from Simpson, we talked on the phone, it's another project I had, and he referred me to the letter that I submitted that says you can bend the bars in that event that it's not wide enough. It's the whole reason that they allow the bends is in case they're not wide enough. So, because typically that's what we would do, we would repair something like this, not remove and replace it. But based off the response we got from the committee that, you know, we didn't think it would work, we took the opportunity to remove it and replace it. So that's what I came up with here is there isn't much detail on it. There's not much more we can do. It's a remove that damaged column in that picture right there. It's kind of behind that that shutter on the right, middle right. It's that area right there that we're proposing to remove and replace. So sure, if you remove it and you replace it with as much as material you can salvage or whatever you can't salvage in like kind of quality.
I personally would like to see, I don't know if it's a photograph or an elevation of the entire facade noting where the corrections are going to be made. So we can see the scope of, you know, how much of the brick needs to be removed, replaced, repaired.
Okay.
Just so that we can see the full scope of the work proposed. Because this feels very, like Rick said, fragmentary. Like we're getting bites, but not the full meal.
Okay. I think we can probably ask the architect about that, mm-hmm. right? Then
she did already do one for a previous iteration that staff had, but I don't think it was included with this package.
Okay. You can feed that to me, and I can jump off.
She needs to update.
Is that something my colleagues would like to see back here at the committee level, or that the staff has already requested architectural drawings that kind of coordinate the work and add some more detail? Do we feel comfortable that the staff could resolve that?
I do.
Does this have to go to commission?
I trust you guys.
Yes.
It does have to, and it has to go to commission.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I just don't want to jam up
the
applicant.
I just want to make sure that's in your
recommendation.
Yeah.
Okay. And is there any comment about the guardrail? Repair or extension.
No, I think the guardrail is fine.
They're likely going to have to go to BBSA.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
So.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this matter?
Thank you, Simmons, Eastman 11, St. Philip. This is more of a general comment. We have buildings all over the French Quarter with cracks like this, and I wonder if the staff and commission can think about a way to maybe utilize the foundation or something to inform potential property owners and current property owners of when the last time a building was fully repointed, because what we see is contractors come in and they use that, I don't know if it's a silicone fakey, a Home Depot type plaster repair, and they're not addressing the problems, so the cracks just keep coming back, and that's how we end up with Central Grocery getting destroyed.
I can respond to that. I think that that's a lovely idea, but there are 4,000 buildings in the quarter to get graded in staff.
Yeah.
So I find it very unlikely that you'll be able to do that kind of survey anytime in the near future and be able to have that kind of outreach as much as I wish we could.
Not necessarily a survey, but just working with realtors or something. I mean, because people are buying buildings that are in terrible condition, and they're not addressing the fundamental problems.
Unfortunately, our very, very illustrious inspectors are in the field every day, and they're making notes of these kinds of things and documenting it. So that work is always underway. Yes.
So I just want to note, it's not that the stucco is cracked or that the pointing is cracked, but the wall is cracked all the way through.
Yeah.
And you can see them.
Right.
You can see the crack on the inside of the wall too. It's a, you know.
So, Matt, before you guys leave the naming commission, this balcony is still occupied. Like, they are still serving lunch on this balcony. In your opinion, should this balcony be shored for it to be occupiable?
Shouldn't be occupiable.
Every day.
I would have to do a specific inspection of the balcony. I was focused on the crack and the side.
I mean, I just have concerns
think that there was a previous engineer's report that said the balcony was also not safe.
It was
yeah. It was,
I checked
but I realized that's not part of it.
But I wanted to be noted.
Has the balcony been cited?
Yes.
It has.
We'll follow up with the building department and make sure that they're aware of this. I'm sure that we have notified them previously, but we'll follow up.
We have.
Okay. Is there any other discussion?
Clarification from the staff. What about this proposal needs to go to the full commission?
I believe the rebuilding that section, correct, Brian? I'm sorry.
No, I don't think it does need to go to the commission.
Oh, I thought it was in the in her recommendation.
No, it does not need to go to the commission.
It's not
that significantly rated.
Okay.
Okay, is there a motion in the matter of 439 41 Royal Street.
Yes, in the matter of 439 and 441 Royal, I move to approve the proposed work, conceptually approve the proposed work, with any final details to be worked out at the staff level, and to forward a positive recommendation for this proposal to the BBSA, with the applicant to submit to staff architectural drawings as requested in today's discussion and in the staff report, to clearly illustrate the scope and extent of the work and document existing scoring conditions.
Thank you. Is there a second for that motion?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thanks for coming in today. Next item is 1004 and through 06 Royal Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do have an applicant present. Slow to move. Do we have a staff report, please.
Sure. 10406 Royal Street is a blue-rated main building and kitchen building with an orange-rated infill. Because they propose to retain light fixtures and keypad door hardware installed without benefit of ECC review or approval, the application cleared to see March 15, 2024. Staff previously cited a variety of violations of this blue-rated building and posted a stop work order in December 2022. Several of the violations, such as repairs to trim and retention of security cameras, are staff approvable, while proposed retention of atypical lighting and keypad door hardware are in need of architectural committee review. Light fixtures have recently been installed at the first, second, and third floor levels around the rear courtyard. The fixtures themselves, locations, and associated conduit are all inconsistent with BCC guidelines. The fixtures are large, black-colored can lights, which clearly contrast with the white undersides of the balconies. The guidelines for the situation recommend centering one fixture in each of the bays between the balcony posts. The locations as installed are somewhat haphazard, not aligning with the bays or consistently with window and door openings. Finally, the conduit used to power the fixtures is dark in color, also contrasting with the white underside, and is rather loosely run. The conduit should be run as discreetly as possible in straight lines and tucked into building elements as much as possible. The applicant is agreeable to painting the conduits, but staff finds that a more complete overhaul of the entire lighting design may be needed. Various versions of keypad door hardware were observed at the majority of the doors facing the interior courtyard. The applicant has submitted information on the hardware observed at the guest rooms. This is described as an electronic lock of keypad and a satin brass finish. The entire assembly measures just under 11.5 inches tall by over 2.5 inches wide. Staff finds issue with the overall size of this hardware, the large keypad, and the satin brass finish. When reviewing similar applications for keyless door hardware, staff has recommended the use of much more discreet keypads, often with either touchscreens that only illuminate when activated or small discrete mechanical buttons. Alternatively, staff has recommended alternatives to keypads such as locks controlled using Bluetooth technology or fingerprint readers. Many locks available now utilize a combination of these technologies in a fairly discreet manner. A proposal to replace or repair many of these courtyard-facing doors previously came before the Architecture Committee in 2019. That proposal included the installation of new electronic card reader hardware. That hardware was similarly sized to what is now installed, but did not feature any keypad. In 2019, staff noted that given the proposed replacement of the doors, it would be an opportune time to utilize newer, more minimal technology. Staff previously noted the need for key card locks given the hotel use of the building, but suggested the hotel lock be split off as a separate hardware to be paired with a more traditional doorknob hardware. Staff finds the now installed hardware even more problematic than the key card hardware previously proposed, and notes that the hardware's out of proportion becomes the dominating feature of the relatively delicate detailing of the French doors. Staff finds both the lighting and some form of a keyless entry hardware concepts are approvable, but changes are needed to the current unpermitted installations.
lighting consistent with the guidelines can generally be staff approvable. Staff recommends denial of the proposed retention of the currently installed lighting and hardware with the applicant to work with staff on approvable design.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property, please?
Kristen Willie, 3330 North Causeway, and I'm
the owner. Tim Dwyer, 3330 North Causeway, and I represent the owner.
Okay. Do you have a presentation you'd like to make or a staff response to the staff report? Okay. I guess the big question is, you have a beautiful building. Why did you install such kind of haphazard lighting system? I mean, there was no effort.
We were already under a renovation at the time, sort of just an interior, what we call a buff and buff, and insurance required adding lighting to the interior courtyard. So to meet the insurance requirements so that we wouldn't lose our insurance, electrical came in and added lighting. They added emergency and cam lighting, and the way they think is more on a dimensional basis and not really architecturally with the structure, you know. So they're going every 4 feet or whatever their foot candles are supposed to be needing to provide the proper illumination. They're not really looking at, oh, this needs to be centered in between the columns. So it was kind of out of necessity that they put it in. It wasn't originally in the plan, but it got added, so.
Did you do this fluff and buff with permits?
Yes.
This actually was in response to a stop work order. I placed a stop work order on December 9th, 2022, and that's when we noted the light fixtures.
Okay.
And so a violation case was open, it's still open, because of this being done without a legal review.
Are you willing to reconsider these lights?
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to reconsider these lights?
Can you fix it?
Can you fix them?
We will paint them white or change them to white, and we could potentially adjust the locations, but that, I think, is all the owner's going to be agreeable to.
What?
Which I think
that's all we're
better.
Asking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's fair.
What?
Yeah.
The conduit is
the conduit. Yeah, well, this is not
we
conduit.
Can tighten that up.
Yeah. I doubt this meets code.
They make black Romex? That's kind of what it looks like.
Or extension cords.
Yeah, I think it's black Romex.
It's
just rubber. Just looking at the light locations, I think they located quite a few of the lights over the stairs themselves. If you look at it as well, it's trying to make a safer environment. Well, but we completely agree with illumination and safety, absolutely, 100%. And what we would approve would not in any way decrease the lighting level, you know, the ability to put emergency lighting up. All it does is it puts it where it would also work with the architecture and then have the installation itself be, you know, minimally visually obtrusive. So it's not in any way going to affect your insurance or your ability to illuminate.
Did staff note the color temperature of the lights?
That's, I think we did refer to that in the report.
Typically
for
3,000.
Okay, what about the hardware? Are you willing to reconsider your hardware?
We can't change the hardware currently at this time. I'll tell you that we don't like the hardware. It is difficult to maintain. The fobs that we have to buy for the hardware is very expensive. The fobs don't expire, so if we don't receive the fob back from the guest, it's a huge problem. So we don't like the hardware. We did it out of necessity for the hotel operator at the time that was taking over or required this particular system. So we put that system on for them, but we are not happy with it and we want to change it. It's definitely on our to-do list when we have the money to do so. But the owner's not going to be able to. We just cannot change it right now. We want to.
When
but
you
if I, like,
please get in touch with us.
Yeah, I'm thinking like maybe, I don't think it'll last maybe 2 to 3 years.
So you're asking for a hardship in this matter?
Yes.
Okay, well, you might get to talk to the commissioner. Okay, committee, any questions for the applicants relative to these lights and this hardware? Well, you're thinking about it? Okay, are you ready?
Question for the staff, just I'm reading this paragraph about the conversation that happened in 2019 about the hardware and the doors. Was any committee action taken? Did the committee or the staff approve any lock sets?
No, I believe we just deferred it in 2019 and then it kind of fell off the radar.
And I believe maybe your owner or your whoever was occupying might have changed.
Changed.
Yes.
It's been, a lot of motion.
Okay. It's
supposed to be run by Sonder, I believe. And then that deal fell through. This is one of those
adjusts. Okay. Is there any public comment about this proposal? I see no public comment. Committee, is there any further discussion before we move to a motion?
The staff is recommending denial. Oftentimes when we have an amenable applicant, we defer. I suppose we need a denial so that.
I like where you're going, if I may interrupt, because I do think that we could get some cooperation towards some resolution here, and with some other alternatives would be less desirable,
right,
potentially.
Sure, but it sounds like the door hardware is non-starter for the owner.
Well, I think that it would be reasonable to ask for this is a hardship matter, so it would have to be heard by the commission. But you just can't sit here and say, we can't do it. You have to tell us why you can't do it. Show us your bottom line. Tell us when you can do it. And because just whining to this committee is not going to actually get you any kind of sympathy.
Yeah, I think that the current economic situations that we're coming off of is still very difficult for us and a lot of properties out there. I think that's number one. We got to a spot where we were required to spend a significant amount of money to update the property for an operator to come in, and basically all of those things changed. We really just don't have the money right now to make a change. We're trying to utilize the property in a way that enables us to continue to make positive improvements on the property, and that's what we'd like to have to keep doing. We are saying that we're in a difficult spot to make a change, and it would be to our benefit probably not to have the same system for door locks. But right now, we really just can't afford to make that kind of
change. It would be,
and it also doesn't necessarily move into our operating systems and communicate well. So,
I think it would be, without spending too much money, I think it would be possible to make a proactive proposal for both of these items. In other words, show how you're going to fix the lights, show how you're going to fix the doors. And we might be able to give you a time
issue.
I think that if you show this a lock that the staff could approve, then we might be able to give you some time.
We had a previous approval on the locks that we took off there to put this lock
Well,
on.
We're not seeing that as a proposal today.
Because we're not proposing to do that.
Okay, I'm ready for a motion. Is there a motion in the matter of 1004 and 06 Royal Street?
Yes, the matter of 1004 to 06 Royal. I move to defer to allow the applicant time to work with the staff to resolve both of these issues and offer a proposal to resolve them. This deferral is for 1 month.
Do I have a motion, a second to that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes. Look forward to seeing you in a month with a proposal for both of these things. The next item is 641 Bourbon Street. Do we have an applicant present? No applicant present. Okay. How about
We really need to hear this. I mean, isn't this like IBC kind of?
Let's see what it's about.
I mean, this one is. How do you feel?
Does it need to be decided this month?
It's a structural thing.
It's pretty bad structurally. So I'm concerned if we wait.
Mm-hmm.
Up to you guys. In mind of questions.
Would you say that it's a pretty routine intervention?
It's a not a routine problem.
Look, I think considering we have a little bit of photographs. Time, why don't we move on? And
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
601 Royal Street. You have an answer to the president? Thank you.
Sorry.
We have a staff report, please.
This is an appeal to retain exterior PVC pipes. Note, city records indicate that 601 and 60305 Royal are separate properties on separate parcels, while VCC records have historically bundled them together, and if all permits and reports combined, public notice requirements have been met for both addresses, and separate permit applications have been submitted under both addresses. The applicant is appealing to retain PVC plumbing installed on the rear elevation of both buildings without permit. This work without permit was initially cited in 2017, at which point the applicant appealed to retain the conditions. The application was denied, but the work was not corrected, and it was cited again in 2019. The applicant has stated that replacing the PVC with cast iron is prohibitively expensive and is seeking a hardship to allow for retention of the PVC. Staff notes that the Architecture Committee is tasked with considering architectural appropriateness and guidelines compliance, and their rulings must reflect these concerns, not hardship. Given that PVC is intended to be buried or used on the interior of buildings as it degrades, when subjected to prolonged sun exposure, it is not approvable for exterior use in the Bucare, even when painted. Staff recommends the committee deny the appeal based on architectural merit. Staff notes that the commission may consider cases based on hardship.
Thank you. I'd like to state your name and address and relationship to the property.
Suzanne Winkler. I live at 3207 Kesselwyn Drive, Katy, Texas. And I'm the general manager of the LLC that owns the building.
Okay.
Leo DuVernay, 1000 Barber Street, general contractor.
Okay. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
No, sir.
It's just very expensive roof.
That would be the hardship.
Been up there for over 10 years. After my father died, I took over as manager, and it's been there since before I knew.
Well, you're correct, because the violation dates back to at least 2017. So this has been tracked by the commission for some time.
Yeah, I realize.
Is there, since you have a contractor here, is there any possibility of running this where it should be on the inside of the building?
That would be more. We'd have to renovate the two bathrooms. And I think they have some air conditioning equipment on the first floor in that rear corner there. I'd have to look at that.
And is it cast iron from the black part that we're seeing?
Just on the slab.
I'm sorry?
Just on the slab is cast iron.
Okay.
And that's this.
Okay, committee, questions for the applicant or for the staff?
Unfortunately, it seems really clear that this is a violation of the guidelines, and there's no way that this committee can approve retention. I don't have any questions.
Yeah,
the question would be why? Why would anyone think that this is okay?
cast iron, we're talking about no hub, correct?
What?
We're doing no hub cast iron with the stainless steel connectors.
Cast iron is what the guidelines call for.
Or hiding the plumbing.
Right, or putting it inside.
So we can use, we need to do lead yoke, huh? Need to be some vintage stuff.
No.
Okay, is there any public comment in the matter of 601 Royal Street? Single public comment. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we go to a motion?
No, that's it.
Okay.
Is there any way we could paint them? I mean, I did read that there is a way to paint PVC pipe that protects it from the UV rays.
That might be what you want to bring to the commission.
Excuse me?
That might be what you might want to bring to the commission. Is there a motion in the matter of 601 Royal?
Yes, in the matter of 601 Royal, noting that the guidelines are very clear on this, I move to deny this appeal based on its architectural lack of merit.
Is there a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
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 The staff will inform you of your right to appeal to the full commission with your hardship and any mitigation you might want to offer. Next item is 232 Bourbon Street. Do we have an applicant present? That's you again? Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
I bet you put that on there.
232 Royal, do we have a staff report?
Yeah, this is an appeal to retain and screen mechanical equipment installed over a valley. The applicant submitted a proposal to address some minor demolition by neglect on the front elevation of the main building and also proposed to install screening at the mechanical equipment overhanging the alley between the building and 226. Staff noted that the equipment itself had been cited as work without permit violation and that approval to retain the equipment would be necessary before screening could be approved. No information has been submitted for the equipment, which appears to be of some age. It is also unclear if this equipment crosses the property line or which property owns the alley. Staff is hopeful that the contractor can provide clarity at this hearing. If the equipment does not cross the property line, staff finds it conceptually approvable for temporary retention until the equipment reaches the end of its useful life, with the proviso that it be screened as proposed. If the existing equipment does in fact cross the property line, retention will be conditional on a servitude between the properties. If one cannot be reached, the applicant must submit a revised proposal to relocate the equipment. Note, the current application does not address all violations cited at this property, including an unpermitted metal roof at the service cell that was denied for retention in 2019. Staff issued a permit to replace the roof with slate in 2022, but the work was not done. A full submittal to address all open violations must be submitted and work completed to abate the issues, or the property will once again be scheduled for administrative adjudication.
Okay, I'd like to state your name and address in relationship to the property.
Leo Dupinay, 1000 Bourbon Street.
Okay, do you have a presentation you'd like to make or a response to the staff report?
I honestly didn't think I was putting this on because I didn't get any answer from the owner about the property lines. She didn't get back with me.
Okay.
I don't know if that is on our property or not.
We need to part this.
Sounds like it. Is there any public comment? I see no public comment. I think we need to defer. Good. Motion for deferral?
Sure. Yeah, in the matter of 232 Bourbon, noting that more information is needed and noted in the staff report, I move to defer.
And second for that motion?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Motion is deferred, or the motion is passes for deferral. Thank you for coming
in.
Thank you. I will see you next week.
Be in touch.
325 Bourbon Street. We have an applicant present drawing on her computer as we talk. Do we have a staff report, please?
Sure. 32125 Bourbon Street is a green-rated main building service cell with a brown-rated rear addition and an unrated courtyard infill. This is a proposal to correct or retain violations, including proposed retention of the courtyard structure and mechanical equipment. Application materials received March 26, 2024. Much of the proposed work is staff approvable, including repairs to masonry and wood elements and painting throughout. Staff notes that these proposed plans include new slate roofs on both the main building and service cell, but a separate permit for this work has already been issued and it appears this work has been completed. Some additional details may be needed for some aspects of the staff approval board, such as more mill details. The major item in need of Architecture Committee review occurs in the courtyard with the large infill construction and mechanical equipment. This infill was previously reviewed and deferred in 2018 and reviewed and denied in 2021. Previous reports noted that the structure measures approximately 370 square feet. The applicant indicates that the structure was built in 2006 and utilizes several inappropriate materials. It appears that the siding has been changed from previous reviews, but it is unclear what the siding material is now. It has the appearance of a cement board siding, which is not an improvable material. According to the guidelines in reference to building additions, staff finds the as-built addition does not satisfy several of the requirements. Specifically, the guidelines state that the BCC requires constructing an addition so that historic building fabric is not radically changed, obscured, damaged, or destroyed. Making minimal alteration to the original design, feature, and materials of the historic building and setting, using materials and techniques that are compatible with the historic building and setting, maintaining the appropriate historic context to the setting. Staff finds that the structure itself is too far against several requirements of the guidelines. The addition obscures historic building fabric, is a major alteration to the courtyard setting, uses materials that are incompatible with the historic building and setting, and disrupts the appropriate historic context of the setting. Additionally, the applicant would need a waiver from the BZA as the addition further reduces the insufficient amount of open space. Since the 2021 denial, additional mechanical equipment has been installed on the roof of this unpermitted structure. This large equipment increases the mass of the structure and further obscures the architectural detailing of the back of the building. Staff recommends denial of the proposed retention of the infill structure as proposed.
Okay, thank you. Do you have a, would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
Catherine Harmon,
Architects,
638
Aldona. Okay, do you have a presentation or response to the staff report?
Yes, my client is the tenant for this property, and he did not build this building. Therefore, he was asking to retain it because now there's a ton of mechanical equipment on the roof. It would be a consideration for y'all to change the materials of the walls and perhaps screen the mechanical equipment. Would that make a difference?
So your client is Charter Holdings, LLC?
No, that's actually the building owner. My client is the business owner. He's the tenant.
Would a citation be against the business or owner?
It's against the property.
Then why are you here?
Because it's a triple net lease.
Okay.
So when did they start getting cited for, this is for staff, for the infill?
Before this person was a tenant.
Okay, and so,
going on for some years.
And then, so that's 2021. When we've been citing it since then.
At least 2018.
Then they've now installed
at least
all of this mechanical equipment that is there today.
Yes, mm-hmm. He has installed.
And that's the reason we should retain it, because it has all the mechanical equipment that was installed illegally on a building we've been trying to get rid of already.
Well, I didn't have any idea what the days, neither the mechanical equipment.
I know. I just, and I'm just saying, I'm kind of incredulous that that's their rationale.
So, what does the mechanical division say about the mechanical? Was it installed without permit?
I don't believe it was permitted. No.
Is it permitted by anyone?
As far as the can meet code, I'm not sure. It's a little tight up there.
There's a lot of questions here.
Well, I don't think there's anything here that changes a denial in 2021 to something we might want to consider for approval today. Can you point out any reason why we shouldn't confirm our denial previously?
My client wants me to ask to retain.
Okay.
However,
great.
I agree with staff.
Is there any public comment?
Nikki Sikinski, 1011 St. Paul. Mechanical equipment definitely does not meet code. It has to be a certain amount of feet from all building edges. So that asking to retain something that safety permits isn't allowing.
Nice point. Is there any other discussion from the committee?
The facade work, the front facade work that's staff approved.
This should all be. Okay. I might need some more information on the millwork, but
honestly, the owner knew that this was the structure, and then he leased it again with that. So this seems like a civil matter to me.
Yeah. Surely your client has a claim.
Among other things, perhaps. Okay, so I think our action is pretty clear. Do I have a motion in the matter of 325 Bourbon Street?
Yes, in the matter of 325 Bourbon, noting that nothing has changed since 2021 except that more mechanical equipment has been installed on the roof of this
questionable providence.
Carbuncle of a building, I move to deny retention.
I second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. You have the right to appeal this decision to the full commission. You can work with the staff about that. We're going to go back to 815 Dauphine Street. We deferred that because no one was present. This is under new business, so I think we can entertain a deferral.
Yes, in the matter of 815 Dauphine, noting that we have no applicant, I move to defer to allow the applicant to be present.
I second the motion.
I second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes. 641 Bourbon Street, I'm going to look to the staff for some understanding about timing, since we are over our time.
I
think we can defer it for at least the next meeting.
Okay.
For 2 weeks.
We have a motion to defer 641 Bourbon Street.
In matter 641 Bourbon, I move to defer to our next meeting.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. That brings us to the end of our agenda. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
A second for motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We've got to clear out. Motion passes. Oh, yes.